We started this series on really the mini-series kind of on the ministry of Jesus. We talked about a few weeks and how God still heals today. We had a tremendous healing service a few weeks ago, in which we had all kinds of great reports from someone's ear being healed and their back being healed to actually a fracture in a bone. And after prayed for, another x-ray and a fracture's gone. So we saw God do a lot of neat things here. One of the things we noticed was that, Tracy, I noticed that we kept hearing a lot of prayer requests that had something to do with anxiety. And anxiety really is at epidemic levels in our country. And I want to talk a little bit about how Jesus not only heals, but he delivers. And he delivers from the bondage of anxiety. Now, I know a lot about anxiety. I had an anxiety disorder when I was a kid. It really happened when I was about 10 years old. My father went to Vietnam in 1966 for a year on a secret mission. And while he was away, my mother was part of a bowling league in which she met a man and they had an affair. The time my father returned, he discovered what was going on and he moved our whole family. He applied to be reassigned to an Air Force base in Spain. And so we all moved to Spain. But shortly after we got there, my mother, one night at the dinner table, told all of us that she said, "Me and your father are getting divorced, and I'll be leaving." And of course, we were all devastated, me and my three siblings, and we're just weeping around the dinner table. Shortly after that, we took her to the airport, and she got on the airplane, and after she's on the airplane, we all got in the car. My dad took us to the end of where the runway is. So the airplane she was on actually would have to take off over us. And as she's taking off and we're all weeping, my dad just said one thing. He said, "I guess she loves him more than all five of us." And we were devastated. And we got home and we just cried all that day. But shortly after that, it was only a few days that she actually got there and felt so bad about it, she turned around and came back and asked all of us to forgive her, and we did, and she never left us again. But I trace it back to that moment, because at that time when that happened, I remember thinking, how secure am I? How safe am I that one of my parents can just leave? And something began to happen in me where I really felt vulnerable and insecure, and that started a lot of anxiety in my life that Jesus later delivered me from. And I want to talk to you today about how he can deliver you from it as well, if any of you are struggling with that. And before we actually get into what Jesus teaches about anxiety, I want to say those of you that struggle with panic attacks, anxiety attacks, that I urge you to go to our website, gracearlington.com, scroll down to the bottom where there's a search panel, and just type in the words anxiety cure, anxiety cure. And what will pop up is a two-part, it's about 3 hours long altogether, seminar that I do on how to actually be cured from panic attacks, anxiety attacks. If you're struggling with that, my guess is, this many people in the room, my guess is about 40 of you that are struggling with anxiety or panic attacks, based on my experience. And I'd say that, I'll tell you, if you will go to that website and you will listen to it and do what I talk about doing on that seminar, you will be cured. You will be cured. And it's not going to happen right away, but you will be cured. In fact, if you just listen to the first half of it tonight before you go to bed, you'll go to sleep tonight going, "I'm going to be okay." And it's going to be such a relief for you. So I urge you, if you struggle with panic attacks, anxiety attacks, please, please go to the website at gracearlington.com and just search anxiety cure and listen. And God will really walk you through in a way that will cure you. Okay, for all of us that battle anxiety, in just regular ways, I want to talk about what Jesus says about that. The first thing that we must understand is that anxiety and fear are the result of feeling vulnerable and not believing that you have the resources available to protect you, yourself, or provide for yourself in some way. So you're feeling vulnerable and you don't believe you have the resources to protect or provide in the midst of that vulnerability. So Jesus actually tells us the root cause of anxiety. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Jesus says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith?" In other words, Jesus says that the root of anxiety is a lack of faith or unbelief. So much anxiety, Jesus says, comes from little faith. So the real problem behind anxiety is unbelief. But unbelief in what? Unbelief in the promises of God and the character of God. So Jesus actually, in Matthew 6, is going to tell us seven things that we need to believe to overcome anxiety. So let's look at those seven things. Let's walk through. And the first thing we must believe if we're going to overcome anxiety is we must believe that we were made for something bigger than the here and now. We were made for something much bigger. We were made for God in heaven and for eternity. So God made you to love you and for you to love him forever. And that's what we're made for. Yet it's so easy for us to get bogged down in all kinds of little things that don't matter much and become anxious. But what we need to keep on the front lobes of our thinking is that, wait, I was made for something way bigger than all this stuff that's bogging me down. I was made for God and I was made forever. And so really we start with the big picture. Jesus starts with the big picture. If we're going to walk free from anxiety, we got to realize that we were made for something much, much bigger than this. Look at Matthew 6, verse 25. Here's how Jesus says it. He says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on." Why? Because life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. We were made for something way, way bigger than this. And I want you to just think about this for a moment. There never had to be a you. I mean, you didn't have to be, but now you are. Think about that. Let that sink in. And God made you and made you in his image and then redeemed you. And then, at least most of us in the room for sure would say, and we believe in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, and so we know that we're going to be with him forever and ever. That's the big picture. We're going to be with God forever. That's what you were made for. You were made to love God and be loved by God and to do that forever. So we need to keep that in the front lobes. We are made for much more than all the stuff that bogs us down. So start off with that. Secondly, the second truth that we must believe to overcome anxiety is that since there is overwhelming evidence that the Creator cares for his creation, that means we can be sure that our Father cares for his children. Okay, how does Jesus say it? Matthew 6, 26. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" It's interesting when we see birds who, you know, if you ever watch a bird is not storing things up for tomorrow. A bird just goes about living that day and eating what God provides and then goes to sleep trusting that tomorrow God's going to provide again. And so if God cares for his creation like he does, that's evidence that for sure, since we're his children, much more than his creation, as his Father, he will care for us, as our Father will care for us. So we start by realizing that we can have peace about tomorrow because we're not birds, we're his children. And he's going to take care of us. Our third thing Jesus says we must believe in order not to be anxious is the simple truth that anxiety doesn't do us any good. Jesus gets real pragmatic here, real practical. Matthew 6, 27, he says, "And which of you by being anxious can add one cubit to his span of life?" A cubit is your distance from your elbow to the tip of your finger, about 18 inches on average. And Jesus is saying that, you know, your being anxious doesn't help. It doesn't add anything. In fact, it actually makes things worse. Because not only we're not fixing anything by our anxiety, but we're also making ourselves miserable in the midst of it. So he's saying, you got to believe that being anxious, being worrying does not help it. Or being, quote unquote, concerned, very concerned, is not helping the situation. And so we need to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. All right, the fourth thing Jesus says we must believe if we're not going to be anxious is this, is that because of the detailed way that God arrays his creation, that is a guarantee that his order must include caring for us. Here's how Jesus says it. Matthew 6, 28 through 30. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field with all this amazing beauty and detail, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. In other words, if God delights in adorning grass and weeds with all of the beauty and all of the detail, and all that is, that's just here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he care for his children that are going to live forever? I love reading science. And by the way, the Bible and the science have no problems with each other if it's true science. But it's interesting that the subatomic particles of proton, neutron, and electron at one time were thought to be the fundamental building blocks of nature. Electron, proton, neutron. But since their discovery, we now know there are over 200 extremely tinier and more fleeting particles that they discovered. And some of these particles that they discovered only have a lifespan of 1/10 billionth of a second. They've discovered something called superstrings. Each superstring is 100 million billion times smaller than the nucleus of an atom. 100 million billion times smaller than the nucleus of an atom. And not only are these subatomic particles, they're flashing in and out of existence faster than the speed of light. And not only are the atoms turning over at a rate exceeding 1 billion trillion per second. And not only are the molecules constantly rearranging themselves in a dance we might call the nanosecond shuffle, but the cells in your body are doing the same. It's almost as if God is working at the speed of light, constantly tinkering with his invention. Your body contains 100 trillion cells, each with approximately 1 trillion atoms. And these cells, just like about everything else in your body, are continually being torn down, remodeled, and replaced. And if God put all that together, he must be very smart. And he must be very powerful. And he must be very precise. I mean, think about that. The question, does God know the position of each of these subatomic particles all the time, even when they're coming in and out of existence less than 1/1,000,000,000 of a second? And the answer is absolutely, he does. Now, here's my point. The point is, if God can handle all of that amazing detail, do you think he can handle the details of your life? See, that's what Jesus is saying here. I mean, if the grass is arrayed like that with some incredible detail, surely he can take care of you. All right, the fifth thing that we must believe in order to not be anxious is that our Heavenly Father already knows everything that you need. He already knows. Matthew 6:32, Jesus said we shouldn't be anxious about what we eat or drink or wear because, he quote unquote, the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So anxiety about the things of this world really puts us on the same level as unbelievers. It shows that the things that make them happy or the things that make us happy, and there's not any difference if we're living in anxiety. But that ought not be the case. We need to realize, wait a second, we are children of God the Father, and he's going to take care of us, and he already knows what I need. He knows it. All right, the sixth thing that Jesus says that we must believe in order not to be anxious is we must believe that if we seek God's kingdom first, make that a priority, that he will take care of all the other things that we need. Here's how Jesus says it, Matthew 6:33. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So if our concern is the kingdom of God, then God will concern himself with our needs, taking care of us. And the seventh thing that Jesus says we must believe in order to not be anxious is we must believe that every day has an appointed amount of trouble, and every day has a God-given amount of mercy to handle that trouble for that day. Two verses, Matthew 6:34. Jesus says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And some translations make it more clear that he's talking about there's an appointed amount of trouble for each of us for each day. And now look at Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So you have a certain appointed amount of trouble today. But also there is new mercies for today to handle that trouble. Tomorrow you have an appointed amount of trouble for tomorrow. And tomorrow you'll get new mercies for that trouble for tomorrow. I really want you guys to see this for a second. Selena, would you come up here? And let's see, Russell, come on up. Jennifer, come on up. I need some volunteers. Y'all come up here in the front. I'm not gonna do anything to embarrass you. Okay, so I want you to hold. Selena, come here right here. Hold. I want you to hold those here. So Jennifer, you come here, right here. Hold these two. Hold it, we can see both signs. All right, hold it, we can see both signs. All right, so what you have is tomorrow's Monday. And on Monday, you're going to have Monday's trouble. Good, that's good. Monday's trouble. But also, tomorrow, Monday, you have Monday's mercy. And you're going to have enough mercy on Monday for Monday's trouble. Isn't that great? All right. And Tuesday, you're going to have Tuesday's trouble. And on Tuesday, guess what? You get new mercy for Tuesday's trouble. Wednesday, you have Wednesday's trouble. But guess what? You get new mercy on Wednesday for Wednesday's trouble. Okay, but here's the problem. What we do is we have on Monday, we not only have Monday's trouble, but we're thinking about Tuesday. And we pull Tuesday's trouble into Monday. Can you hold that too? Not only that, sometimes we even think about Wednesday on Monday, and we get Wednesday's trouble, and we pull all that into Monday. It's kind of hard to hold all that. And we wonder why we feel overwhelmed on Monday. Because you only have enough mercy on Monday for Monday's trouble. So don't pull Tuesday's trouble into Monday, and don't pull Wednesday's trouble into Monday. Realize that when Tuesday comes, you got new mercy for Tuesday's trouble. When Wednesday comes, guess what? You got new mercies on Wednesday for Wednesday's trouble. Isn't that great? Great. Well, give these guys a hand, would you? Good job. Yeah, you just need those right there. That's good. Okay, so Jesus tells us these seven things that we need to believe to overcome anxiety. But here's the thing. The Bible is full of promises that as we believe the promises of God, we can walk free from anxiety. And last week, Jody gave us a message on Mother's Day in which we actually looked at Psalm 23 at the end, but she just made it a prayer. What I want to do is I want to show you how just Psalm 23, just believing the promises of just Psalm 23 can set you free from so much anxiety. So let's just briefly, we'll take 10 minutes to just walk through this real quick. Psalm 23 starts off, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Lord is in caps, L-O-R-D. Anytime that is in all caps, that's the name Yahweh God. Yahweh God is my shepherd, is right now my shepherd. He shepherded us right. The one who flung the galaxies into space is shepherding your life right now. And that's why he goes on to say, I shall not want. I shall not be in want. I shall not have anything that's really good for me. It will not be withheld from me if he's my shepherd, because he's the good shepherd. So if it's good for me, he's going to make sure I have it when it's best for me to have it. Now, we might be thinking, well, I think something's good for me. He's not giving me. Well, maybe that's not good for you. But he's your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not lack whatever's good for you. Then he goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, one thing about a shepherd and a sheep, the sheep does not know what's coming next, but the shepherd does. And sometimes the shepherd knows the sheep's not ready for the rest of the journey. So the shepherd will make the sheep lie down in green pastures and rest and feed, so the sheep will be ready for what's coming. And so our Father does, our shepherd does the same thing for us. He knows what's ahead of our schedule, ahead in our life. And he knows sometimes we're not ready for what's ahead. So sometimes God puts us in a bit of a holding pattern. And sometimes we get frustrated being in a holding pattern. Instead, we should just trust him, realize that I guess I'm not ready for what's coming next. I need to take some time. He's got me in a holding pattern. Make sure I take some time to rest and to feed on his word so I'll be ready for what's coming. Then he says, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Well, sheep did not find refreshment by roaring rapids. Sheep find refreshment by quiet pools of water. And so, again, how do we find refreshment? We find refreshment with quiet times with the Lord. A lot of times we're anxious and we're stressed. And what do? We speed up our schedule and we just add more to it and wonder why we're just totally frazzled. Instead of thinking, wait a second, I need to make sure I take some time by just being quiet with the Lord and get my soul restored if I'm going to really overcome anxiety. And then he says next, he guides me on right paths for the good of his name. Interesting, in the ancient world, there are lots of paths. Some paths maybe were the real path you should take. Maybe it was a path that looked like the wind blew down the grass. Maybe that's a path. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a path made by robbers trying to get you to go down this path so they can rob you. The sheep don't know how to discern which path to take, but the shepherd does. All the sheep has to do is follow the shepherd. Again, so a lot of us are anxious about certain decisions we need to make. How do I make this decision about this job or this relationship? Or should I move out of this house? Or we've got all these decisions. We're not sure what path to take. But the shepherd knows what path to take. The main thing I need to make sure I'm doing is walking close to the shepherd, hearing his voice, you know, and taking step at a time, one step at a time, and making sure to do the next right thing as I follow him to be on the right path. And then he says next, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now he's talking here about a real place in Israel, a real place with high walls that are steep that come down to a narrow floor, and it's a ravine that makes its way up to the mountaintop. And the shepherd knew that in order to take the sheep to this mountain meadow, he had to take them through this deep, dark, dangerous valley. Now the sheep are on their own in this valley that has, you know, wolves and snakes and all this kind of stuff. The sheep would have reason to fear, but the sheep are with the shepherd. The shepherd's going to protect them. And some of you right now are in a dark place. You're in a deep valley. You're in the midst of a very trying situation. And some of you are there because the Lord, you're following the Lord, and the Lord's led you there. Well, you need to know that the Lord is leading you with purpose. You're not going to stay in the dark valley. He's taking you to higher ground. Sometimes we got to go through difficult places to go to higher ground. Now, some of you might be in the dark valley because of some bad decision that you made. Well, you need to know what the Lord wants you to do is now make the right decision. Don't make another bad decision to try to get out of the situation you're in. Do things God's way to get out of that mess. And God will lead you out of it. And then he says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Now, the metaphor doesn't change here because remember, the shepherd's leading the sheep to this tabletop, this mountain meadow. And now the shepherd's going to prepare a table for the sheep. He's going to prepare a banquet. What's he going to do? The shepherd's going to take this anointing oil that he has, and he's going to look for snakes. He's looking for the snakes. He's looking for their holes. And he takes this oil and puts it around the viper holes. And that kind of acts like a repellent. The snakes don't want to come out of those holes, and they won't bite the sheep's nose as the sheep are grazing. And then the shepherd will take this anointing oil and put it and anoint the heads of the sheep, and it kind of acts like a repellent as the sheep are grazing against the snakes. And what happens? The sheep have a banquet in the presence of their enemies. The same is true for us. As we follow the Good Shepherd Jesus, he anoints us with the Holy Spirit, and we walk in victory over our enemies, powers of darkness. And then he says, my cup overflows. On the mountaintop, there is a water well. And the shepherd would work very hard to pull up this bucket, leather bucket of water, and he would pour the water into these stone cups. But he would pour it to the very top because the sheep don't want to get wet. And as the sheep are drinking, the cup overflows. And it's a beautiful picture of the great generosity of the shepherd, making sure the sheep have more than enough. And again, for us, our cup overflows. And one of the ways to walk in victory over anxiety is to constantly realize how we are drowning in blessings. Not think about that one or two things that are challenging your life, but think of all the ways that God's blessing you. Your cup overflows. And that's one of the things that's going to help you overcome anxiety. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, again, we're still in the shepherd-sheep metaphor. Because what would happen as a shepherd's leading the sheep is he had usually had two sheepdogs behind him. And these sheepdogs would make sure to keep the sheep hemmed in and make sure they're on track following the shepherd. And here's a picture for us. Just like two sheepdogs, we have goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. And constantly God is making sure to hem things in so that things in our life are turning for our good. The equivalent in the New Testament of that is Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. Those are called according to his purpose. That doesn't mean everything that happens in our lives is good. Of course not. It means that before God is through with a situation, puts all of the necessary ingredients in, and accomplishes what he's trying to accomplish and his purposes, it's going to turn out for our good. And we can trust him for that. I mean, life is best seen by a believer in the rearview mirror. Being able to look back and say, Lord, you have been faithful all my life. I didn't know how that situation was worked, but you turned it for my good. And you turned it again and again and again for my good. But we have to have that same confidence, not just in the rearview mirror, but looking in the through the windshield, that, and I know what's coming. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. And then he says at the end, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So our shepherd's going to bring us one day safely home to our eternal home. And we're going to have fellowship with God forever and ever and ever. And I just want to remind you, I know you know that, but I want to remind you, this is not our home. And we're not home yet. But we're going to be home, and our shepherd is going to lead us home. And in the meantime, he's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us. He's going to lead us. He's going to even lead us through difficult circumstances, but always with purpose to take us to higher ground. And eventually, he's going to take us to our true home, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So again, that I just want you to see in that one simple psalm, all those promises. And some of you feel the anxiety just falling off of you as we're just talking about this. But that's how we're supposed to live, believing the promises of God, believing the character of God, and living free from anxiety.